What I'm going to do for you with you tonight, I'm going to first of all share with you a little from the scripture. So if you can turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And then when we're done, and that'll be about 15 minutes or so. And then when we're done, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the work going on in Yaroslavl, Russia, for maybe another 15 minutes or so, and then open it up for questions. I want to apologize for not having my slide projector with me tonight, my trusty slide projector. It's like a missionary's fishing rod or something like that. I don't know. So I guess I'm like a fish out of water tonight. I don't know. But anyways, Ephesians chapter 1, starting with verse 15. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So often we seem to overlook a very important aspect of the mission field. And this is something that I personally take for granted, and that's prayer. It's a weapon. It's a very powerful weapon. But yet, we seem to overlook that. And really, what we just read is Paul's prayer to the Ephesians. And we're going to take a look at that in a little bit more in-depth way. And we're going to see what exactly Paul prayed for the Ephesians for. And in doing this, I believe we find something that we can be praying for those who are in the ministry, and also for our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's important to pray this for anyone, and perhaps even for yourself. So let's take a look at how Paul prays. And first of all, in verse 16, it says, well, let's go ahead and read 15 again. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. I can't help but to remember a lady in our church in Brooklyn Bible Chapel. And one day, Angela and I was taking my wife there to drop her off at work, and she came up to me and she said, Jason, you know, I pray for you, and I pray for your family every day. And she had a notebook, and she opened it up, she pointed, she says, I get up at 4:30 in the morning and pray for people. And pray for missionaries. What an encouragement that is. There are times when, in Russia, when we feel that someone is praying for us. I'll just share one brief instant when I was here in the States. I was working for Carson and Gray, a missionary company, and I was up on the scaffolding. We were up maybe $5 or $6 high, pretty high. I mean, that would be about 35 feet up in the air, something like that. Pretty high distance. And the tractor came up with cement. We opened the doors there, we took off the bar, and the cement came in. We were shoveling it out into the different pans, and I came very close to falling off. And I was able to grab hold and pull myself back on. And one of the non-Christian workers there made the comment, someone must have been praying for you in Sunday school. So it's not just prayers in Russia, but it's also prayers in the States that will be just as well. So the first thing is, we see Paul prays for them, not necessarily daily, but it says cease not. So on a continuing basis. I recently ran into an older gentleman in an assembly, and he told me, he said, I've prayed for you and your wife every day since we've met. And wow, just, oh my, to know that you're being prayed for, to know that you have that prayer support. And I'll be sharing with you a little bit later on one particular instance in my life when I didn't really want to do what God had planned for me to do. I had my mind of doing something else, but God used me in spite of myself. I'll share that just a little bit later. But let's go on to verse 17 and see how else Paul prays for the Ephesians. So, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, when we stop and think about that, we say, well, wait a second, the knowledge of him, the knowledge of all of God, obviously. I thought that Paul was writing to Christians, and he is. We can take a look in the beginning of Ephesians chapter 1. We see that he's writing to Christians. So what does that mean? That they may know God, that they may know him. Well, perhaps it means that they'll get to know him better. He's praying that they'll get to know him better, come to a closer relationship with Christ. You know, growing up, I had the feeling that missionaries and commended workers were someone to highly look up to and to even put up on a pedestal and say, wow, you know, these people are great, they're wonderful, you know. And I thought they must not sin, you know, they're so holy. And so, but, you know, missionaries are just like anyone else, and they need to continue to have a close relationship and a close walk with the Lord. And sometimes I've met missionaries that haven't been walking with the Lord, and it's evident the way they live their lives is a poor testimony. So you can pray for the missionaries that they'll have a continuing walk with the Lord, a close walk with the Lord. Then we see in verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And we actually read two things here that Paul is praying for the Ephesians. First of all, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Perhaps this here is speaking of what the Lord has called you to do. I believe that each of us have a specific task that the Lord has called us to do. And sometimes that task will change depending on where we are in life. I'll give you an example. Right now, Angela and I are planning to go back to Russia to Krasnodar, which is in the south by the Black Sea, about maybe a thousand miles from Yaroslavl and probably 1,000 miles from Afghanistan as well. We're planning on going there for language school, Lord willing, for about 5 months. I just feel that our language needs to improve. And most of you know the changes that my parents are going through now, as our brother mentioned, and how that they need our prayers, especially at this time. Let me just share a little bit more about that situation right now. I'm sure you remember the verse where it says, man meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Well, I can see that happening right now in Yaroslavl. You see, in Yaroslavl for 8 or 9 years, all of us Americans or us missionaries had taken leadership role in the assembly, save for the exception of one elder, one Russian elder. And we had done all of the preaching, all of the teaching. And about a year ago, I went to my father and I said, you know, Dad, this is a problem. Because if we're missionaries, we want to work ourselves out of a job. And he said, well, yeah, you're right, Jason. So why don't you start a, he said, why don't you start a Bible study and teaching the men how to preach? I was thinking along those lines, but I was thinking maybe you could teach the Bible study, not me. But, we started a Bible study, and we saw these men begin to take the Word of God and put outlines with it and begin to share that at the Wednesday night Bible studies. And we praise the Lord that when we left, they were doing all of the Wednesday night Bible studies. Now, as a result of the circumstances that have come up, the government, let me just explain that briefly too, for some of you that may not understand what's going on. We were under an organization called Yaroslavl Bible Society. We were not registered as a church. The local government came in and they reviewed our material, reviewed who we were, and they said, you need to re-register as a church. So you have to deregister as Yaroslavl Bible Society and register as a church. Now, how long is that going to take? We're not sure. We were told it takes at least 2 months to unregister. So during that time period, the local government has asked that the missionaries not to share in the meetings, not to teach, not to hand out literature, and if they do, they could be deported. They could be asked to leave, or they could be forced to leave. That would be the better word. But seeing as my parents are not teaching, or seeing as the missionaries are not teaching, this has given the opportunity for the men to take over the church in full leadership, taking the full responsibility, seeing what exactly it's like to be the elders of the church, to preach and have someone always prepared to share something. And so man meant it for evil, but God definitely meant it for good. And we're seeing these men grow. It's a blessing when I was back in Russia just to get up or just to sit down and see one of my brothers get up that I had a small part in teaching them how to share, open the Word of God and share something. And occasionally I will nudge my wife and I'll say, hey, I taught him that, or Dad taught him that, or I remember that. I remember going over that with him in Bible study. And it's really a blessing. It's an encouragement, immensely. So that's kind of an update on what's going on there. Please continue to pray for them, though. They really need it this time. Now let's go back to Ephesians, the second part of verse 18, says, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So he's praying for two things. First of all, that the calling will be sure, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, I had to wrestle with this for a while, but the conclusion that I came up with was that this inheritance that's talking about there is heaven. And the picture that I get is Paul is asking them to try and get their sights on heaven, and to try and I don't know if any of you have ever seen Chariots of Fire, but there's one scene where the runner is sitting down or getting down, getting ready to run the race, and he looks up and he sees the finish line. And I think the idea here is Paul is saying, look, don't get sidetracked with those that are around you. Be sidetracked with the goal. Be sidetracked or not be sidetracked. Have your sights on heaven. Go for that. And so as we turn our eyes upon Jesus, as the song says, those things of the world grow dim. And that's something we can be praying for the missionaries and workers for as well, that they wouldn't be sidetracked with the things that allure them. There are many single missionaries, and I believe that single missionaries have stronger temptations than those of the married missionary. I know several of them, especially the younger ones, and it can be very difficult. Having an apartment all to yourself. Sometimes they're accountable, but for a lot of the time, they're not accountable for what they do. So they really need our prayers especially. Verse 19. This is the best one. When we pray for missionaries and commended workers, this is what I believe is the most important thing to pray for them about. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power? Paul is praying that they'll know the power of God. Now that is the thing. That's the thing I believe is the most important. Because we can, you know, we can study, we can share, we can speak, we can memorize, we can meditate, we can do everything in our strength. But if we don't have the power of God, it doesn't avail for much. Now, in case the writers that Paul is writing to, the Ephesians, forget what the power of God is, he mentions what the power of God is, just a taste of what it is. In verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Talk about some power. You know, how many other people do you know that came back from the dead and are still alive? That's true power. That's real power. It's interesting. I think of those that are involved in the satanic movement, and they say, well, I want to see something, and I want to have real power. Well, this is real power, that the Lord raised Christ from the dead. What else does he have power to do? Far above all principalities and powers. Fine. That kind of narrows it down, doesn't it? Far above all principalities and powers and might and dominions. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. I met a fellow who was in the worship of Satan, practicing the worship of Satan. And I was talking to him a little bit, and I thought it was so interesting. As I was talking to him, I said, you know, well, God is greater, so much greater than Satan. And he says, yes, but in these last times, more and more people are joining our group, and they're praying to Satan, and Satan is becoming more powerful than God. You know, the way Satan blinds these people, it's amazing. You know, how he can fool and trick people. That's exactly what he wants people to think. You know, the Battle of Armageddon, the idea that we're going to beat God. But here it says that it's in verse 21, far above all principalities. In other words, it doesn't even compare to the principalities of Satan, God's power. It's just so much greater, so much faster. And verse 22, in case we've skipped anything that is not under the power of God, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So when you remember to pray for us missionaries and commended workers, first of all, in verse 16, on a regular basis, remember us to the Lord. We'd ask that he would do that. And then secondly, in verse 17, that we might grow closer to the Lord, grow closer to him, that we would know him better. And then in verse 18, that we would know what his calling is, how he's going to direct us, not just every week or every month, but every day. And then in verse 19, and also in verse 18, that we'll have our sights on heaven. It's easy to get sidetracked, even for missionaries. And then in verse 19, that we will know God's power and we'll see his hand at work.